Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of SLMA Radio. As we look at from our ever-evolving selection of programs each and every week, this week it's Data Dump, a show produced and hosted by Mark Godley. A show where you can hear top B2B data vendors and buyers discuss the reality of today's data landscape. Mark and his guests will help you navigate your buying decisions and enjoy a laugh along the way, at least we hope, as we bring back Data Dump, sponsored by Lead Genius. Hey, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Paul is our announcer today for the Data Dump show, and I'm totally excited for the next 20 minutes or so. We have a respected colleague and good friend, Jim Gerhart from Zendesk. He has a unique role over there as Senior Director of Enterprise Business Applications and Development. Well, first of all, welcome to the show, Jim. Thanks for giving us time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark. I'm pleased to be here.
One of the reasons why I think it's going to be so helpful for the audience to learn more about Jim is because of the role he has at Zendesk, which to me seems to be pretty darn unique. Jim, can you describe to folks listening what actually you do over there?
Yeah, sure. So I lead a team of analysts, developers, engineers, and administrators. And we are kind of at the intersection of all things agile monetization. I handle sales and marketing technologies, which is the focus of this conversation, of course, as well as a lot of the other finance, legal, HR-related business systems. In my role, we're kind of at the intersection of business from a strategy standpoint, as well as pricing and packaging and delivering SaaS products to market. And I'm also kind of in the crosshairs of a lot of buying decisions and targeted in terms of vendors reaching out to me constantly and trying to sell me the next shiny object.
So let me just clarify here, because again, this seems so unique. It sounds like your team is responsible for product decisions or recommendations at Zendesk, as well as decisions related to what internal tools are used by Zendesk. Is that true? It's actually both sides of
The latter part is certainly true. The former part, let me clarify. So product decisions are made within the product teams, but when it comes time to bring those to market and actually monetize them, we have to rectify our self-service motion against our assisted sales motion and come up with a pricing and packaging mechanism that will suit both. Essentially bring those through our billing system and CRM so that we have a fluid process.
Thank you for that clarification. Sure. And then, again, another uniqueness is oftentimes people who are making vendor decisions, you know, it's someone in a sales ops function, it's someone in a marketing ops function, but ultimately they report up into the sales or marketing departments. Am I correct that you actually sit and your team sits outside of those groups?
Yeah, that's correct. I actually report up through the COO organization. So I report directly to the COO. My group is really an IT organization, and we are structured in that we have a very strong role in either recommending or assisting in the purchasing decisions for internal tooling.
Got it. And then one more bit of background before we get into us opining on how we see the world. Tell us about the work you did before Zendesk, because I think it has some relevance for your expertise in the area we're going to delve into.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an information systems and business person at heart. You know, it's well in my DNA. Spent a lot of time doing relational database design and multi-dimensional database design for internal management reporting way back in the day. So I spent a lot of time doing that and a lot of web design and internal business systems development using relational databases and a number of web technologies. Several years back, I kind of jumped over into specializing in sales operations and working with sales operations teams to do essentially business turnarounds and coming up with a formulaic approach to operating sales teams.
Excellent. Yeah. No. It's a fantastic background. So I think that's a good segue into you used the term shiny object a minute ago. And certainly, you know, I've been described, I think affectionately, as an old curmudgeon by folks in the space. But I do have a bit of both awe And cynicism, as it relates to, you know, you look at the MarTech space and that the infographic that comes out every year, and we're a couple weeks away from Dreamforce happening. You know, there are now literally thousands of solutions out there in the MarTech, sales tech, ad tech space. Is this a good thing, a bad thing, both, neither? What's your perspective on the abundance, the explosion of tools that have shown up in the last decade?
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see how this has progressed. And it's really interesting to see that even though the LumaScape and the infographic that keeps expanding each year, I think we're well above 5,000. I want to say it's closer to 7,000 now.
Yeah,
and everybody over the year has been talking about consolidation. We really haven't seen a lot of consolidation. So it's just fascinating that there seems to be room for everybody in this space to make some money. It'll be fascinating to see how things change going forward. So is abundance a good thing? I mean, I think it's good to have options, but I think that the reality is that many of these products or services are very much the same, and it's difficult to, more challenging, I should say, in finding kind of the best of breed solutions. So I think there's a lot of niche players, and then there's a lot of players that kind of do the same things. One analogy that I kind of like to use is, you know, it's kind of akin to dining at the Cheesecake Factory. Not something I do a lot of, but I have been there a couple times, and it strikes me that, you know, there's just an abundance of varied options on the menu, and certainly some things that are nutritious, but there's also a lot of fat, salt, and sugar that you got to watch out for. You're going to end up in an unhealthy situation. I think that's the same with the rest of the data vendors out there.
The sales and marketing landscape equating to Cheesecake Factory. I think there could not be a more apropos metaphor. And then when you get into the nutritional value and the caloric intake, wow, we could go forever with that. That's amazing. That's amazing. But let's speak a little bit as it relates to Zendesk. So there's thousands of options. Yes, I think it is close to 7,000 or more. I wanted to be a bit conservative so no one had to fact check me and call me wrong. If you were to say specifically the sales in MarTech, obviously you've got a marketing automation system, maybe more than one. Obviously you've got a CRM. How many different vendors do you bolt on there? Is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 30? Do you even know across the different functions within those departments who are bolting something onto their system of record?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. And the game has really changed, especially in the past 5 to 10 years. And this is kind of true just by virtue of the burgeoning SaaS industry and something that, you know, it's a topic that transcends just sales and marketing. I mean, CIOs are dealing with this left and right, but it's, you know, we're kind of out of the realm in many cases of dealing with monolithic systems and platforms that, you know, take forever to implement. And you're looking 10 years down the road for, you know, getting return on investment on a system that's, you know, destined to be obsolete. You know, now we're in the realm of component technologies, right? And the ability to swap things out at relatively low cost, and also contracting a year at a time, 2 years at a time, maybe even monthly. So at this point, you know,
just
I would
like
say
that,
just, that's right. We do offer a number of compelling options for our customers, right? To give them the flexibility that they're looking for.
Low risk. Yeah.
That's right. So low risk. So to answer your question, yeah, we have dozens of component technologies and or services that work around our core systems. And as a general rule, we probably swap out 15 to 20% of those on an annual basis. So it gives us the flexibility to, instead of being locked into a technology that drives the direction of our business, we drive our business the way we see fit, and we seek technologies that map to those objectives.
That's fantastic. Really, really cool. 15 to 20% are changing, dozens bolted on to those foundational elements. And you mentioned ROI, Jim. To some of us who don't work for companies that sophisticated or large, who have gone through so much evaluation as you folks, can you give us some tips or what you've learned? Like, where do you truly see the biggest impact from these investments? How do you measure it? Have there been some unexpected learnings along the way?
Yeah, I can definitely answer that. I mean, I think that the best advice that I can give is that don't make decisions hastily. You know, really understand how any particular technology can fit into your strategy. Do your reference checks, right? Talk to other companies and see how they're using these technologies, and try to find corollaries to your own tech stack. In other words, if you want to use a particular technology to bolt onto your CRM in conjunction with a particular marketing automation platform, make sure you can find that same stack or a customer that has that similar stack, and see what their experience and their objectives, and make sure that the objectives that they had when they sought to use a particular technology are the same or similar to yours, and see what their success has been. I'm a big proponent of making sure that success criteria are understood before a purchase is made, and that you hold yourself accountable, or your business partners accountable, to check back in to make sure that those success criteria are measured and being met, and that you work closely with your procurement department, if you have one, to make sure that you hold your vendors accountable for all of those things as well. So when it comes time to renew, you know which direction you want to go. Of course, also keeping an eye on the landscape and understanding what other competitors you might want to bring in. And sometimes it's not always an even swap. You may have to, if you lose one technology, you might bring two more in to take the place, but it may be a happier situation with two vendors versus one in some cases.
Excellent. Jim, this is a good time for us to take a quick break to pay some bills. I want to move the conversation more towards the buying process itself. And then I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the concept of data. So we're going to delve into those two topics in the second half of the discussion. We'll be back here in a minute for the second half of the show.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mark.
Well, we got to ask you a question while we take a break and let you digest all that. Let me get you thinking about something else. How well do you know your total addressable market? Do you even know what that means? What are the most profitable micro segments of your business? Who are all the decision makers at your ideal accounts? Well, if you don't know, there's a company that can help you figure it out. Lead Genius. They can help tell you. Lead Genius helps business-to-business enterprise companies such as Google, eBay, and Square power their go-to-market strategies. Maybe they can help you with yours as well. Lead Genius has the highest quality contact and account data available anywhere. How? Well, they're geniuses. Lead Genius verifies every single data point with a unique combination of real human researchers. How about that for a genius idea? Not just relying on the computers, but some real people as well. And machine learning. Quality is assured. Accuracy is 100% guaranteed. That's right, 100%. See for yourself why enterprise marketing and sales leaders trust Lead Genius, and why you should too. Visit them at leadgenius.com to learn more about your total addressable market today. Learn what that is at leadgenius.com. All right, today we're talking about fool's gold. What happens after you buy all those new shiny technology things here? Is it fool's gold, or is it a real gold nugget? We're going to pick it up and talk some more with our host and his guest.
And we're back. Jim, that was an amazing introduction to how Zendesk is organized, how decisions are made, the complexity of your sales and marketing stack annually, how it changes, and some of the criteria that is used to both evaluate vendors and hold them accountable. And then a little Cheesecake Factory metaphor thrown in just to keep things spicy. Let's talk a little bit more about the buying process, because with so many vendors in your stack, with you swapping out 15 to 20% annually, certainly you have seen your fair share of buying processes that were ideal versus buying processes that were embarrassing or pathetic. Don't want you to name any names here, but can you talk about what it's like buying from folks that all claim they have the elixir that is going to solve all of your problems?
Yeah, certainly. I think that buying technology and buying services is a muscle that takes, you know, a fair amount of consistency and exercise to develop into something that is functioning properly. It's really a cross-functional discipline that needs to be developed. All too often, there are decisions made from within the business. So you may have somebody deep within the sales community or marketing community that has a friend or a salesperson has reached out to them and has kind of sold them on the idea. And they may have budget, or maybe budget is centralized, but they might start championing that particular idea without respect to all of the other consequences or repercussions that bringing in that technology may have on the overall tech stack. So having a group of technologists and analysts kind of in the center of this to synthesize the requests and understand the objectives, and also to kind of map company objectives, I think is really important. So yeah, certainly there's always going to be failures at times, but I think that the failures are generally by virtue of somebody kind of letting their enthusiasm outrun reality, or getting into a buying situation too quickly. You know, typically, vendors will promise you everything, tell you everything's going to be great, tell you how their product is different. And it takes careful examination and really knowing the space to be able to understand what's new and different. Since you like the Cheesecake Factory analogy so much, I'll give you another one, the Taco Bell analogy. So when it comes to data and even some of these tools, And I don't eat at Taco Bell. I probably haven't been there in 10 years, but when I was in college, I used to eat there. And what struck me during that experience is everything at Taco Bell comes off the same, out of the same batch of ingredients, right? In other words, it's all just packaging, right? The differentiation of product is about composition, right? You can take all those ingredients and dump them out on the counter, but that's not a meal, right? That's not very appetizing. It's really about, you know, pulling each of those ingredients and component parts and putting something together that is attractive for the situation at hand, right? So the same is true with data. Data is data. It sounds simple, overly simple, but it's really about what you do with that data, how you compose it, how you bring it to life, and how you present it and maintain it that I think is the differentiator and probably why we have 7,000 vendors in the space.
Well, I also think the Taco Bell analogy is interesting because I think when you're buying data or MarTech or sales tech, you have to be careful to not have the same host ingestion experience that many people talk about with Taco Bell, but we won't delve too much into that. I'll let people leave that to their imagination.
Right.
So you said something very interesting about data, and I've been kind of the accidental data guy for the last decade. I didn't intentionally become, you know, this curmudgeon from the data space. It just kind of happened to me. But one of the things I'm consistently surprised by and frustrated by is, you know, there's the concept of shelfware, where people buy something and they never actually get it deployed. I think there's a similar problem and challenge with data, where there's shelf data. I need a better word for it. But people ingest data, but they never make it actionable. They never get it integrated, munged with other important data, and presented to an end user, whether that be a marketing person, a salesperson, somebody in credit, somebody in finance, where it becomes part of a play or part of a decision-making process. And so the vision of why you're bringing on a vendor or data relationship versus how it ends up being used in the organization is a massive chasm. A, have you seen that, Jim? And B, do you have any tips for folks that have seen that in their organization as to how they can avoid that fate?
You've really hit it, right? Because there is no organization that doesn't struggle with data, right? I've worked at organizations that have what I think a very clean data architecture to those organizations that are very poor. And of course, during my sales operations work, fundamentally, cleaning data and getting control of data is paramount to success. garbage in, garbage out, right? You can't have a well-functioning sales and marketing organization without good data. So I think that orchestration of data and use of data really takes concerted effort, right? And again, it's a cross-functional discipline, and it should start with strategy. What strategy are you looking to deploy, and what data do you need in order to support that? How are you going to age the data? How are you going to correct data? How are you going to prevent duplicates from coming into the system? What matching technologies are you going to use? And how do you hold people accountable to that data? And how do you prevent garbage from coming into the system again and again and creating all this bloat that then becomes very, very difficult to for sales and marketing people to kind of mine through and make sense of. So I think that data is often looked at of like, hey, let's just bring in more. More is better. I think that quality over quantity is far more important. I mean, if you take the average sales rep, for instance, you know, how many leads can they really follow up on, for instance, or your typical AE, how many accounts can they really pay attention to, depending on what role they're really in terms of chasing the SMB space or enterprise, right? It's pointless to load up an AE with 5,000 accounts. Right, because they're only going to focus on the, you know, the top 20% that they feel is going to lead to a conversion in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. I actually, going with our metaphor here, you know, data is kind of like weight. It's easy to put on and hard to take off, right? I mean, how do you often you see that? Easy to get it into the system, but then making the decision and getting it out seems like heresy. Jim, gosh, we could talk forever. We only have 30 seconds left, and I want to hit you with a quick lightning round question,
sure.
Which is top couple, you can choose 1 to 2 to 3, predictions on where sales tech, martech, ad tech is going.
Oh, boy. I think we're going to continue to see a growth in the space. I think that artificial intelligence and machine learning are going to play a giant role in differentiating vendors going forward. I think those are probably the two most exciting things happening in technology, and the repercussions for all things, including sales and marketing, data and vendors. You know, there's definitely room there for those technologies to add benefit.
No doubt. To me, it feels like that stuff is very jargony today. A lot of people are bolting that onto their taglines and on the above the fold section of their website, but it really hasn't come into its own. It feels like it's early days.
That's right.
So I think you're right there. Well, Jim, great conversation. I wish we had more time. If folks want to connect with you to learn more about your experience, and you probably need some more solicitations, how can people get in touch with you?
I would just say, just find me on LinkedIn.
There you go.
Or chase me down at Equator Coffee at Mid Market, San Francisco.
There you go. Jim Gerhart with Zendesk, fantastic resource. Thanks for giving us some time. And Paul, I'm going to send it back to you to wrap it up.
Well, you've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio with this week's featured show, Data Dump Radio, one of the many shows on the ever-increasing SLMA Radio channel and its subsidiary Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.